This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
That's the world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I was working on something else, Aaron, at the top of the hour. Did we have a Tacoma update?
No, we did not, Dory. We're still waiting to hear back. We should hear back, though, I'm hoping, during your show. And if we learn anything about that catalytic converter murder, we will let you know about it.
Yeah, well, here's the latest that I'm getting.
Yeah.
So, and you had some of this when you first reported.
Right.
So, a 54-year-old guy was sleeping in his truck.
Yep.
We don't know why, but he felt at about 3:45 a.m., he felt the truck vibrating and heard loud noises from the undercarriage. He looked out, saw a man halfway beneath his truck trying to steal the catalytic converter. The truck owner shot the guy who was allegedly stealing the catalytic converter. And then, according to Tacoma Police Lieutenant, or maybe it was Lakewood.
This could be Lakewood.
Yeah. The truck owner approached the catalytic thief converter again, fired at him again. And then he used rope to tie the would-be thief to the ball hitch of his truck and dragged him to a nearby field behind some railroad tracks. He untied the body and left. A truck driver saw the body dragging behind the truck, called 911. Officers responded, found the 40-year-old victim dead, and the alleged shooter drove by, was stopped by police when police were interviewing the truck driver who reported this. And according to a story just posted in the TNT, the man was alive when he was being dragged behind the truck. So he did not die from the shootings.
Jeez. Wild stuff. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's crazy. And with all the craziness, and you have to cover this, I talk about it every day, with all of the craziness, it's hard for something to stand out as crazier than the rest. And I think we have found that one thing.
And it's not like it was a dull weekend either, Dory.
No.
It was a violent weekend across many parts of the week. Yeah.
But I started doing some research. Catalytic converter thefts in the Seattle area are up 1,000% in 2021, and it costs about $1,000. If it happens to you, if you're victimized by it, and I heard about this one tour bus company in Seattle, they got hit a couple of days ago, and they haven't been able to do the tours because of COVID since March of last year. So these poor folks, they're just trying to get back on their feet financially, and then somebody comes and steals the catalytic converter on either four or five of their tour buses. And I mean, I understand people get. I still want to. Why was the guy sleeping in his truck?
Yeah, don't know that part yet. He's going to be arraigned today, though, so maybe we'll learn a little bit more. But we will ask the police when we do get a hold of them, certainly, why he was in his truck. Yeah,
we got a call in as well. All right, Aaron, thank you.
You got it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm serious. It's tough for something to stand out as crazier than the batch, than the rest. But this is it. So, but listen to these numbers. In the first 4 months of the year, there have been more than 250. So we're on pace for about 750 catalytic converter thefts in just Seattle. There were only 8 in 2018. So we're up 100-fold from 2018, so that heroin and meth addicts can sell. And the reason catalytic converters, there are metals that are used in the production of catalytic converters that are quite valuable. And so they can steal the converters, and then they can fence it, and there are people who know how to harvest the metals, the rare metals that are in them. And that's why the metals are rhodium, platinum, and palladium. And I guess rhodium is the most valuable. It's worth 15 times per ounce what gold is. And gold's almost $2,000 an ounce, so we're talking almost $30,000 an ounce for palladium, or rhodium, rather, rhodium. And then this was added. It's worth 15 times more than gold. It's worth 30 times more than cocaine. which is another commodity that's all over around here. So I'm curious. I shouldn't even ask this question. I'll get in trouble. I'm just thinking, if you've been victimized by catalytic converter theft, do you still find this Tacoma or Lakewood story to be horrible and just a horrible reaction by the guy who did it, guy whose truck was getting stolen, the CC was getting stolen from his truck? Because I got a bunch of text messages from people when we first talked about this story an hour ago. I got a bunch of text messages who said, maybe this will send a message. And it's not, that's not going to work. Okay, if you're a heroin or meth addict, hearing about what happened to one guy in Lakewood is not going to be a deterrent at all to other thieves. So I would strongly guess what it should be a deterrent to is the truck owner could go to prison for the rest of his life. And why he decided to do it in such a horrific way, shot the guy, but he was still alive, and he drags him behind his truck, behind some railroad tracks at 4 a.m. That's crazy. This is the craziest story of the year so far. Man. All right, with that as a mere prelude, let's get into the Fastest 15. I think I mentioned that it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. We've also been seeing a lot of craziness in our schools. And, you know, I told you in the last segment about schools that are removing all holidays from their school calendar that they share with families. And on it goes with all of this nonsense. But one thing that's a very hot-button issue all across the country is whether biological boys should be allowed to play sports with biological girls in middle school, in high school. It's horribly unfair. Boys are biologically superior to girls. Not all. The greatest girl athletes that I've known and that I've coached are probably better in the sport I worked on, basketball. They're probably better than 90% of the boys in the school. But I'm talking about the very best girl. But the very best boys, they play above the rim. And that means most varsity and JV teams. And here's another issue. You may recall a few years ago, I had a middle school girl who called into my show because they were talking about at her school about opening up the locker room and the bathrooms to biological boys who say they identify as girls. And it was a really powerful phone call because the girl was crying. And she said, I'm not trying to be a bad person. I would be really uncomfortable, and I don't know why my opinion doesn't matter. And we're starting to hear that more and more from kids around the country. Jolene is a teen in Virginia, and she talked to the school board, and she said, we understand that you want to protect the transgender kids, but why wouldn't you protect kids like me just as fervently?
2 years ago, I was told Policy 1040 was just an umbrella philosophy, and you weren't going to allow boys into the girls' locker rooms. But here you are doing just that. Everyone knows what a boy is, even you. Your proposed policies are dangerous and rooted in sexism. When woke kids asked me if I was a lesbian or a trans boy because I cut my hair short, it should tell you these modern identities are superficial. My guidance counselor's response to my concerns about bathroom privacy and safety was, well, there are stalls in the bathrooms. Now boys are reading erotica in the classrooms next to girls, and you want to give them access to girls' locker rooms, and you want to force girls to call those boys she. You do this in the name of inclusivity while ignoring the girls who will pay the price. Your policies choose boys' wants over girls' needs.
Very, very well said, because yes, I understand wanting to be as kind as possible to everybody, but if your kindness to one group is upsetting and horribly so to kids who don't want to change clothes in front of somebody of the opposite gender, and we're talking about middle schoolers, then why wouldn't we care about those kids just as much?
I feel like I had to speak up because so few other kids were speaking up and so few adults were, And I was hoping if I started speaking out, other people would too.
And has that happened, by the way? Have you seen other people starting to speak out?
A little bit, not really, though.
Because everyone's afraid to speak up, to speak out. They're afraid of being called transphobic. They're afraid of being labeled hateful. And that is how we've gotten to the place where we are. Because everybody else, and I've talked to parents. I had a parent on last week who said exactly that. Yeah, I want to speak up about what's happening at my kid's school, but then I'm going to be called hateful. And no, what I tell everybody is the only thing that can make you hateful or racist or transphobic is if you are hateful, racist, or transphobic in your heart. Because somebody else says it in an effort to silence you doesn't make it so. And this is what's happening right now, is this tremendous effort to try to silence everybody. Now, I just got something in from a friend of mine in the North Shore School District. And North Shore is really going off the deep end. Their superintendent makes more money than any state employee other than the college football and basketball coaches. But North Shore School District, they did some student announcements before class, and this was on the 10th, so 4 days ago. And here's a little bit of the student announcement at Skyview Middle School in the North Shore School District. And this, again, what an example of what our kids are being forced to say by their school teachers and administration.
I'm Z. I'm an 8th grader, and my pronouns are they, them.
Hi, I'm Sam. I'm also an 8th grader, and my pronouns are also they, them.
Today's spotlight is on music artist Halsey.
Halsey is identifying as bisexual, and she, they.
She was born September 29, 1994, under the name Ashley Nicole Fingerfame.
Okay. So the reason that Halsey is being spotlighted is because she identifies as bisexual. And, the kids doing it, they both gave their pronouns as they, them at the beginning of the announcements. What would happen, though, if they chose to profile a cisgender, which is another stupid made-up word? What if they chose to profile a heterosexual musician who's married and has a couple of kids? Oh, that'd be hateful. Hateful! You can't spotlight that. So this is and it is brainwashing that's going on in our schools. It is brainwashing our children, your children. I mean, thank goodness. It was starting to tilt when my girls were in school. But, it's capsized now. And I honestly, I think I know what I would do as a parent today. I'd be one of the most vocal at the school board meetings. I would expose everything that I can. I cannot imagine what this radio show would be like if I had kids in middle school now. Because, I would be filling the airwaves with everybody knowing exactly what kind of stuff's being dished out to our kids. But this is really, really dangerous stuff. And I want to say, there's one person who, on the left, and he's been a pretty far left guy his whole career, but in the last few months, comedian Bill Maher, who has his Real Time show on Friday nights, he is starting to become one of the loudest voices about how crazy the radical left has gotten. And I find this so refreshing, and it tells me something about Bill Maher, that this is a guy who, while he has an ideology, a worldview that is quite different from mine, but he recognizes the absurdity. He's kind of a classic liberal, but he's not a radical liberal. And so on Friday night, he talked about what he calls progressive phobia. And that is where things have just gotten so far out of control. And the point that he's going to make, I'm going to play it for you. but he's there are people, and Joe Biden's one of them. You know, we're back to the Jim Crow days, which suggests to me that Joe Biden doesn't know one thing about history, or he's just completely forgotten. To suggest that America in 2021 is anything like America of the Jim Crow days, it's insane. Or to say that women are so horribly treated in America. Women are treated better, and I say this as a proud father of three daughters, and man, married 30, it'll be 34 years. Jeez, when is our anniversary? Our anniversary's in 5 days. I don't have anything yet. Don't tell my wife. I'm going to act like I've been planning it for months. Wow. Yeah, so in 5 days, so I guess it's Saturday, will be our 34th anniversary. I want great things for women, for my girls. And anybody who suggests that things are as bad now as they were, you know, 50 or 100 years ago, it's insane. It shows ignorance. And Bill Maher's willing to call that out.
Progressophobia. That's the phrase coined by Steven Pinker to describe a brain disorder that strikes liberals and makes them incapable of recognizing progress. It's like situational blindness, only what you can't see is that your dorm in 2021 is better than the South before the Civil War. If you think America is more racist now than ever, more sexist than before women could vote, and more homophobic than when blacks were a felony, you have progressophobia and should adjust your mask because it's covering your eyes. You know, before 2012, every time gay marriage was put before a state's voters, it lost. 35 times in a row. Now it's the law of the land in every state. Even half of Republicans are for it. The other half are for closeted gay sex. The chant from gay protesters used to be, "We're here, we're queer, get used to it." Well, we did. This is Pride Month, and it's not even a big deal anymore. 30 days of parades and festivals celebrating a cause that was once so divisive, Ellen had to pretend to be straight.
So I just, the fact that he's speaking out against how radical things have gotten is proof of how radical things have gotten. And that is your Festist 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. All right, coming up next, our president in Europe at the G7. And man, we've got lots of audio that once again shows Joe is not all there. I'll play it for you. Coming up right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. So, Aaron, I want to get this straight.
Yes.
The children's hospital vaccine thing.
Indeed.
So right now, they're testing the vaccine on kids as young as 6 years old, and then they're going to ask for parents to volunteer their children as young as 6 months old?
Is that right? The goal. That is the goal for the next phase of vaccine trials, indeed.
Wow. That's crazy to me. I don't know what parent would volunteer a 6-month-old to be part of a medical trial. That's something. All right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
And I've got some stats for you. You know, I told you about this last week. I did a long 2-hour special report on this. That, you know, kids, if they get COVID, they're fine. They're fine. But here, just in Washington State, and this is as of 4 days ago, so I don't know how the numbers have increased since then, but we have 63 cases of myocarditis in mainly teenage boys who have gotten the vaccine. 63 cases in the state of Washington, 33 in King County, and those are 4-day-old numbers. So who knows how much those numbers have increased. I haven't gotten the Monday update on that. But most of them are under the age of 30. 76% of them are male. It's happened with all three vaccines. They get it after the second dose, the myocarditis. And if you're 12 to 17 years old, you are at a 12-time greater risk from myocarditis than you would be from COVID-19 if you're unvaccinated. 12-time greater risk. So is anybody doing the math? And I won't fault parents who get their kids vaccinated, but why would some parents expose a 7-month-old baby to a trial at Children's Hospital? By the way, some of the kids are going to be given the vaccine, and some are going to be given a placebo. So the kids are going to get, and then if it's the same plan that they told us about a couple of weeks ago, and then the kids that get the placebo after a few weeks, then they'll give them the vaccine. Yeah, oh yeah, 7-month-olds love getting shots. So parents, what? Why? And I ask that not rhetorically. Text me and let me know. Why would you, if you've got a 6 month to 2-year-old kid, or to 5-year-old, whatever, why would you want your child, when you know about the myocarditis, the inflammation of the heart, why in the world would you want your child to be part of an experiment to see how little babies react when there's not one case of a baby dying from COVID-19? There's no reason that you need to medically, is in my opinion, and all this is my opinion, but I've seen the stats. I've seen the numbers in our state. The only child who's died had tremendous comorbidities. And so why, if your kid's not going to die and 99.999% of them recover from it, most of them don't even know they have it because it doesn't affect them in any kind of tangible way, why would you take your kid to be part of a medical experiment? That really is crazy to me. Okay, President Biden, he's at the G7 over there in Europe, and it's been really odd. They've not let reporters question him much, but one time a reporter got through with a question, and listen how Joe Biden answers it.
I'm going to get in trouble with my staff. Yeah, go ahead. I've pretended.
How about that? He says that all the time. If I take a question, I'm going to get in trouble with my staff. What president of the United States has ever in the history of our country has had a staff that gets angry at him if he answers a question from a reporter? But they know that Joe isn't there. He's not all there. He's not even close. And so when he prefaces it by saying, I'm going to get in trouble with my staff, that's really sad, but it's also very, very telling.
I'm going to get in trouble with my staff. Yeah, go ahead. But I pretend that you didn't answer you.
You have often said repeatedly that America is back.
Yes.
At the same time, you've kept in place some Trump-era steel and aluminum sanctions. And I wanted to ask you, when you're having these conversations with European allies who are very concerned about these sanctions, how do you justify that? And what are your plans?
120 days. Give me a break. Need time.
120 days. So then here's another example of how he, you know, the staff gets very upset if he doesn't call on their pre-approved reporters with pre-approved questions.
I'm sorry, I'm going to get in trouble with staff if I don't do this the right way. Jennifer Jacob Bloomberg.
Okay, they told him who he was allowed to call on because obviously they coordinated with the Bloomberg reporter what her question would be, and then they were able to prep Joe with a canned answer. But he keeps saying that. I'm going to get in trouble if I don't do this. How did he phrase it?
I'm sorry, I'm going to get in trouble with staff if I don't do this the right way. Jennifer Jacob Bloomberg.
I don't do this the right way. It's sad, but this is the weakest president mentally in the history of our country who's not allowed by his staffers to take questions. And then there was this. In just about a minute and a half, President Biden 3 times confused Syria and called it Libya. 3 times. And you don't think other world leaders note that we have a vacuum at the top when he can't remember the name of Syria?
And so there's a lot going on where we could work together with Russia. For example, in Libya. We should be opening up the passes to be able to go through and provide food assistance and vital assistance to a population that's in real trouble. I think I'm going to try very much hard to. It is. And by the way, there's places where I shouldn't be starting off and negotiating in public here, but let me say it this way. Russia has engaged in activities which we believe are contrary to international norms, but they have also bitten off some real problems they're going to have trouble chewing on. And, for example, the rebuilding of Syria, of Libya, they're there. And as long as they're there without the ability to bring about some order in the region, and you can't do that very well without providing for the basic economic needs of people. So I'm hopeful that we can find an accommodation that where we can save the lives of people in Libya, consistent with the interest of maybe for different reasons.
Three times in a minute and a half. And the one time he said Syria correctly, he thought he corrected himself and changed it to Libya. So three times he called Syria Libya. And other world leaders are noting this. And this is it's a dangerous place for the United States to be right now because we have a vacuum at the very top. Okay, quick time out here, and then lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Man, oh man. Some of you are hurtful. So I opened the show by talking about I engaged in a epic, about a 20-minute battle with a fly in my home studio here. And I've always found that the best way to catch a fly is I take off my shirt and then the breadth of the shirt flying at the window, it'll usually injure them and then you can kind of pick them off after that. And I said, so I was running around shirtless in my office. Anybody coming to our front door could have witnessed the spectacle, but I was running around shirtless. And man, I just tell you that little story and I'm looking at the text messages. First of all, everybody's telling me I need a salt gun, not an assault, but a salt, S-A-L-T gun for flies. Is that what it sounds like? Do you just fill it with salt and fire salt? I don't want salt all over my office. But then from the 206, Dory Monson shirtless, please, I'm eating. Another one, Dory, TMI. OMG, so much naked Dory imagery. Come on, give me a shower story. That's kind of funny. Do you know what a fly without wings is called? A walk. And because I also told the story about when I was taking a bath and I flicked a fly out of the air with a towel and I took off its head and it lived for 20 minutes without a head. And I said, if you want to call that living. And then somebody else texted and said, you want to know what it's like to live without a head? Just ask Jenny Durkin or Jay Inslee. It's terrible. You should just confine your hurtfulness to me. Let's not go out beyond others. But everybody said there was just too much imagery of me naked. Well, I will tell you, I'll share with you, a listener sent me a webpage. It's called Wikibios. And then I have a biography, and it's not Wikipedia, it's some random. But if I ever start to feel bad because of my hurtful listeners, who say that they don't like the image of me running around shirtless, actually I don't like the image either. I'm with you on that. But I can just read the wiki bios of me. Want to hear it? Let's see. Dory Monson is a popular American anchor who's best known for his outstanding anchoring in radio shows. The talented anchor is the host of the popular Dory Monson Show. The famous host, Dory, is a libertarian. Dory's one of the best anchors in America. who grabbed huge popularity with his amazing anchoring performance. They like the word anchoring. They got some things right. I went to Ballard High School, went to University of Washington. Then says a couple other things. But then this is the part I really enjoyed. And this is where it really bolstered my confidence. Monson mostly attracts his fans and audience by his style, gesture, and postures. The 59-year-old anchor still has a fit body. And then I found out how fit it is. I'm 6'2" tall, according to this, and 152 pounds. Actually, I had to do the math. It says I'm 69 kilograms. But that converts to 152 pounds. So that's pretty good. I'm 6'2", 152 pounds, 44-inch chest, 34-inch waist, 15-inch biceps. I think they cheated me a little bit there. And then favorite actress, Julia Roberts? No. Favorite actor, Tom Cruise? No. Favorite singer, Chris Brown. I couldn't name one Chris Brown song. Favorite holiday destination, Rome. And then some lesser facts about Dory Monson. Dory Monson talks about American politics a lot in his shows, correct? And he occasionally loves smoking. I've never smoked anything in my life. All right. He loves to spend free time with family and friends. Okay, that's correct. So anyway, I am your 6'2", 152-pound anchor. And if you've ever seen me, you know that that's more proof that the internet is never wrong about anything. Okay. All right. Into the next hour, we will go here on the Dory Monson Show. I got a lot of other stuff that I have to get to here, including give you updates on lots of reaction to this horrific crime down in Tacoma. A guy sleeping in his truck discovered somebody else stealing his catalytic converter. He shot the catalytic thief twice, but then, while still alive, he dragged him with a rope behind his truck, and that's what killed the catalytic converter thief. And now the truck owner's probably going to go to prison for most of the rest of his life. I'll give you an update on that story and lots more as we steamroll into the third hour here on the Dory Monson Show.